Today on Seculo, what's next after Trump's guilty verdict shocks America?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So yesterday, in a New York courtroom, which I think most of us deep down in our gut, if you were going to admit the truth, if you were betting, that Trump would be convicted by a New York City jury and a prosecution by the DA's office there, who ran on prosecuting Donald Trump and in any way possible by putting together a crime that we can't even describe on air because we don't even know what exactly it is. I mean, you know, the falsifying business records part, we don't really know what part they chose to say that made that, take that from a misdemeanor to a felony. But what we do know is that now this moves forward, and we want to talk to you today about how it moves forward. So we'll talk about legal process. We will also talk about the politics, the impact this has on the election. What's the immediate reaction? I mean, I think there was everyone held out hope that there were maybe one or two people on that jury that would say, this is not right. This is the way that they're presenting us with this information, and choose your crime, but you can choose any you want, that this is not correct. This is not the way things should go. That maybe there'd be a couple people like that on the jury, but the likelihood would be that this conviction would occur. We'll answer your questions as well. I have a feeling people have a lot of questions about this, and those will probably go into next week. President Trump also did a news conference this morning right before we went on air. We'll play some of that. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, we've got guests joining us today.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed show later on the broadcast. Tulsi Gabbard will be on to discuss the fallout again from the conviction that happened obviously yesterday and what it means. President Trump has been speaking. Also, our dad, Jay Sekulow, will be joining us in just two segments. So next segment, we're going to be breaking this down even more. He'll be joining us for his analysis coming up in segment three. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. 1-800-684-3110. Because as I always say, your voice is also an incredible one. It's usually the most important voice in the room. So give us a call. What were your initial thoughts? And does this do anything? I have a feeling I know the answer, but does this do anything to what you're going to do in terms of the election? Do you watch this? Does it make you cringe? Does it make you disappointed? I know a lot of people, and I could see that in the social media outpouring, a lot of people fired up. I mean, they are a little defeated in the sense of going, you can't believe this is the country we're living in, that this is happening, but I do think it's going to galvanize a base that's ready to go.
Well, I think what has to happen is this needs to be corrected on appeal, and Donald Trump needs to be elected president. Those two things need to happen. I hope this doesn't have to go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which means ultimately you can try to file an emergency appeal there, but ultimately you're probably going to have to go through the entire New York justice system first before you'd get to the U.S. Supreme Court. And, you know, courts, as we always say, Logan, as a legal organization, that is the place of last resort. You know, when we go in to fight for a client, we try to get it resolved before having to go to court. We try to say, look, our case is so strong, we're going to beat you in court so bad, it's going to economically be a waste of your taxpayer resources, of your school or a business of your resources. So let's settle this now with our demand letter that we filed.
Take care of it easy.
Right. But and the Supreme Court, obviously, trying to file emergency appeals there, obviously a court of the court of last resort. It will also have an impact on other cases that Donald Trump is fighting as well. So we'll talk about all of that. But really, I think we have one election cycle to correct this. Or else, the norm in our political system could become DAs around the country finding who they want to prosecute and then determining what crime they could charge them with. And going through a giant book of crimes and saying, okay, what crime can I charge him with now that I don't like this person, this politician?
No one that should or want to run for president will end up running for president because they know this could be...
Or get into the political process at all.
That's what I mean. This could be, not only could be the outcome, likely could be the outcome. We've seen that in other countries as well. Hey, we are about to wrap up this segment. Become an ACLJ champion. Only 36 more ACLJ champions to hit our goal, and today is the deadline. So if you want to become a monthly supporter of the ACLJ, do it right now. While we're on the air, scan that code, ACLJ.org/champions.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Secula. We'll get your calls into 1-800-684-3110. Just to go through some of the basics right now. So President Trump was convicted of all those 34 counts of falsifying business records, and then they obviously chose, but we don't know which ones, different reasons why that became a felony. Was it a federal election violation? Which, by the way, the U.S. Supreme Court said that state and city district attorneys cannot prosecute federal laws. So that can be an issue you appeal. Ultimately, could get to the U.S. Supreme Court. Hopefully it doesn't have to go there. I would hope even an appeals court in New York, a group of judges, not a jury, would decide that this is just not the right precedent we want to be setting, even if we don't like Donald Trump, even if we disagree strongly with Donald Trump. But we saw with the 14th Amendment case, it took, what did it take, Logan? The U.S. Supreme, these cases that you'd think that maybe you'd get some judges who would just think about the long-term implications of what this means and can take Donald Trump out of it for a moment, they just can't do it.
No, and I think we knew that going in. I think there was maybe a hopefulness that maybe there'd be some of the charges there, or some of them wouldn't go through as full, so maybe there'd be a mistrial, maybe there'd be something. But I think the Trump administration or Trump campaign knew that when they started putting out statements like Mother Teresa couldn't even get through this, they knew what was coming. And of course, in New York, I was just going over with my son, the basics, like, what happened here? And I didn't get into the extreme details of it, but I said, he got, convicted and here's why. And he's like, well, where did they do it? I was like, in New York. He's like, well, that doesn't seem that fair. And this was from an 11-year-old. I go, yeah. He's like, how many people voted for him in that area? I was like, 4% of the people voted for Trump in that area or something like that. And he's like, well, that seems like they needed to find somewhere that was a little less biased. I was like, yeah, this is coming from an 11-year-old. Yeah. So I think the American people feel that. You obviously saw a lot of the, I guess you'd say, quote unquote, celebrities kind of rallying around President Trump even yesterday, the ones that were on his side, whether those are MMA fighters or whoever it is, saying, they're not going to take. I think people watch what happened and they're upset by the fact that this is what's going on in our country. If you are a conservative, and if you are not, again, it's sort of like the problem with impeachment. As soon as you start trivializing it, if the Republicans start to go that low, this is just all-out chaos, and that's what could happen very soon.
Right. I mean, and a point is, if you don't get it corrected, which means if it's Donald Trump this time, it's the next candidate the next time, and you get, and then you end up with another serious problem because Republicans who, listen, I don't want to get to a point where we use the legal system
against political opponents. But if that becomes the norm, then you end up in a banana republic because you have to survive if you're going to engage politics. And also, who is going to engage politics? Why do you think those countries have such problems with getting legitimate, decent leaders? The reason why is normal, even you know, successful business people don't want to get involved in the politics there like that. They don't want to be the candidate because they know what happens once you're out of office. So even if you didn't lose, even if you finished your term, you end up in prison or you end up, you know, again, having to fight legal battles for the rest of your life. And so do your allies. So here, I just want to just so people know, the sentencing is scheduled for July 11th, 4 days before the Republican convention begins. And then you have 30 days from that moment to file the notice of appeal. And then the Court of Appeal in New York will then set the date for when you have to file the actual appeal. I don't know if they'll wait that long, and that's because I don't know if they'll wait till actual sentencing, because I think they'll also request a stay on the sentencing when they file the appeal.
Let's take a quick call. Let's go to Steven, who's calling on line three, who's watching on X, which is cool. A lot of people, you know, we were broadcasting live on X now, which obviously is Twitter, formerly Twitter. You're on the air, Steven.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I follow you guys. I have a quick question. I'm wondering, now that this trial is supposedly over, how long is this gag order supposed to last on President Trump? Because it is...
Steven, I wanted to get this question answered because I even asked this morning in our meeting, because Trump went on today when he was making his press conference, said, I'm still under this, you know, nasty gag order. I think for a lot of us, we assumed verdict reached, gag order removed, but it's not how it is.
It will be, you file a motion. So I guess by evening yesterday when the verdict came out, that motion probably could be filed today. That gag order could be lifted by this afternoon. So it's not indefinite. It's not normal for them to keep the gag order. Now, if you were President Trump right now and you've been convicted and you've also got the sentencing, you've got appeals, you also want to be careful because you haven't been sentenced yet. And in New York, almost every attorney, even the ones that are on the other side of this, have said it's unprecedented for anyone to get jail time on the first offense like this. And this would be his first offense like this. So you want to be careful about how hard you're going after the judge, how much more than what you've already said about him, which he still says things about him.
Yeah.
But you know, he kind of references, and you've got to like put the points together. What I think again here is going to be most interesting is how quickly they file their notice of appeal, how quickly the next court in New York, once that appeal actually, you know, the briefs filed on the appeal, and then of course will he make some kind of unique attempt to try and expedite this to the U.S. Supreme Court potentially. It's always a long shot, but we saw with the 14th Amendment case how quick that can move when the court knows it must act quickly. And in this case, it's kind of like it doesn't take him off the ballot. It doesn't prevent him from becoming president. So it doesn't have – it's not the same kind of urgency necessarily. But it does – the lifting of being a convicted felon certainly is important when you're running for office.
Yeah, I think so. I think there are people that will – there may not be a fallout for people who are diehard Trump supporters or Biden supporters in that sense of where it's going to – but that little gray area that just is going to maybe be deflated and not motivated, that's my concern. Is there people that aren't necessarily fully – you know, full MAGA Trump supporters. There are people that probably would vote traditionally Republican who just are – disturbed by having to vote for someone they either think is a convicted felon, which I mean it is, or having to just deal with the fact that this is our political system right now. That's sort of my concern, is not the big picture. Does it dissuade the person who probably watches this broadcast? No, I don't think so. But is it the gray area of the few percent that just has to be motivated to begin with to get them even out to the poll?
It's the few states that he lost the second time that he won the first time. And on an election we know is going to be very close. And the nation is very divided. And so does this discourage that the women's vote? And we're talking about like by – because if it does by 2 or 3%, that could be it for the state. So, I mean, this is – we can play – this is President Trump this morning. He made a shorter statement yesterday when he came out of court, a longer statement this morning. Let's play some of that right now.
They say falsifying business records sounds so good, right? It means that legal expense I paid a lawyer, totally legal. I paid a lawyer a legal expense. And a bookkeeper, without any knowledge from me, correctly marked it down in the books. A very professional woman, highly respected, she testified, marked it down in the books as a legal expense. So a legal expense, paid a lawyer, is a legal expense in the books. It's not sheetrock construction or any other thing. It's a legal expense. Think of that. This is what the falsification of business records were. And I said, what else are you going to call it?
I mean, so that is, you know,
that's someone under a gag order, also, you can tell.
Yes. Yeah. But what he's saying is, when I paid this over to a lawyer, and then the account, you know, my accounting department sees that, they're going to assume that's a legal expense.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're probably not going to ask him. And these weren't multi-million dollar expenses here. The total of this was $100,000, $130,000.
Yeah, well, we're going to be taking your phone calls
over
coming up.
Years.
1-800-684-3110. Next segment, our dad, Jay Sekulow, is going to be joining us with his analysis of all of this. You want to stay tuned for that. That's in just a couple minutes. So, and then Tulsi Gabbard will be joining us later on. She has a pretty strong reaction. If you've seen sort of the video that's gone viral a bit of her talking about this, and she believes the only way to potentially put a remedy to this situation, maybe in November. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. And again, we have a current number. But when we started this show, 36 champions away from hitting our goal. We'll take a look to see if we have an updated number. That is people who support the ACLJ on a monthly recurring basis. And that goal is to end the month, because we're on the last day of the month here. So right now, I'm going to encourage you. We are only 26 away. That means 10 of you have done that since we've been on the air. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but the compounding, you know, number of people who do this, it's over 21,000. So to have brand new people who come on board each and every day and say, I'm going to give it a monthly recurring basis, obviously you can cancel at any time. But your monthly support allows us to keep fighting to defeat government corruption, uphold the Constitution, support Israel, defend your religious liberty, and protect life. Become an ACLJ champion today. Get us to that goal. At this point, you can get us to the goal while we're on the air. So we'll keep you updated. Again, our dad, Jay Sekulow, joining us in the next segment. Later on in the broadcast, we have on Tulsi Gabbard. So it's going to be a packed show. And of course, as I always say, the most important voice in the room is you. So give us that call. Throw in a comment. Let us know where you're watching from in the chat. We'll be back in just a minute. Again, I'm going to give a last second here pitch, Jordan. It is a time to be an ACLJ champion.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, we need you to go to aclj.org/champions. Help us reach that goal today as we fight back against the weaponization of our legal system. They come for President Trump. They're coming for us next. They're coming for conservative groups next and the supporters next.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Secular. We are taking your calls 1-800-684-3110. Our dad, Jay Seculo, Chief Counsel at ACLJ, is joining us now. Dad, first, I just wanted to get your reaction to the verdict yesterday by the jurors in this case in New York.
Well, I think it's fair to say that everybody knew that getting a fair trial in Manhattan was a very difficult task for the lawyers, because the jury, it was so clearly going to be on the side of the prosecutors, because it was an anti-Trump county, which is New York County, which is Manhattan, of course. And then secondly, let's be realistic. I mean, I would have never put two lawyers on that jury, to be honest. I think that was a mistake. So that being aside, I do think that this case, which has got a long way to go, and I say a long way to go because the appellate process in New York is not quick. There's a multi, and we'll get into that. There's a multi-level appellate process that before it would go to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I think that, you know, is obviously going to be the next recourse. But the reality is that it was an uphill battle to begin with. But I thought that, you know, a hung jury was the more likely scenario. Although, as you and I talked yesterday, Jordan, when they announced at around 4 o'clock that the jury had reached a verdict, I said, it's going to be guilty on all 34 counts, because there's no way they could have come up with a hung jury that quickly. You got to at least stay out. I think in New York, it's 12 hours before you could declare it a mistrial. And this was about 10. So you knew at that point it was 34 either convictions or acquittal. And I couldn't imagine a scenario where it would have been in that jury a 34 acquittal.
Yeah. So you talked about the process. You know, the sentencing is 4 days before the convention, and that's also starts the clock for when you have to file the notice of appeal. I would think they probably filed, Dad, the notice of appeal earlier, because you'd want the stay. You'd want to file for a stay on the sentencing as well.
Yeah, and so in New York, the way it works, I've done a lot of cases in New York. I'm out of law school, left the government, and was with a firm out of Manhattan for a number of years. And the way it works is this. They're going to file their notice of appeal, which should also include a stay. The appeal will go to what's called, it's different in New York because the trial court where this took place is actually called the Supreme Court, but it's not the Supreme Court as we would traditionally understand it. So they have what's called the appellate division, which is the mid-level court of appeals. That review is mandatory, so that is an automatic appeal. That should stay with a motion to stay both the sentence and allow for the appeal to go on. There's a number of issues here to appeal this on. If it's not successful there, they could apply for review to the New York Court of Appeals, which is their highest court. They could either accept it or reject the appeal. They don't have to take it. If they take it and rule against the president, they could then go to the Supreme Court of the United States. If they take it and rule for the president, the other side could go. So, you know, again, this has got a long way to go. It's also a first offender treatment, and so there should be no way they can impose a sentence of incarceration. But we all knew there was not going to be a fair trial here, and this trial was flawed from the beginning.
I think people, a lot of them are worried about the sentencing and all of that because we've seen so many rules and changes happening. I'm actually seeing the chat right now. One person just asked, do they have to wait for sentencing to begin the appeal process, or is that something that can be happening at the same time? As we know, they've announced that sentencing will occur just a couple days before the convention, the Republican National Convention. Seems, again, like a lot of interesting timing. But, of course, people are concerned with that when they see a lot of changes being made in just these cases, as this one has been proceeded.
Well, look, I mean, technically, the notice of appeal could be filed. You could file an emergency stay of the whole proceedings. I don't think that will be successful. So at a minimum, the appeal would be filed, Logan, really at the time of sentence being executed, because that's when everything goes into effect. But everything will be ready, I'm sure, before. Now, if I was the president on this particular one, I'd get a different team to handle this appeal. No question about it. I was talking to some of the colleagues that we worked with, Jordan, that you and I worked with when we were representing the president in the impeachment or in the Mueller probe, and it's a very different type of skill set, obviously, than this. But you need appellate lawyers that could really handle this appeal. Then the second part of this will be the sentence, Logan, as you're talking about. Not likely that they would impose incarceration here. Again, first offender treatment, a white-collar crime, book entry crime, I mean, a misdemeanor at best. They came up with this, you know, crazy theory to make it a felony, which was including a jury instruction that the jury did not have to be unanimous as to the underlying crime, which is absurd. The Supreme Court has said that's not right. So there's a lot of grounds for appeal. Whether they'll be successful in New York or not, I don't know. You know, his bond was reduced by 2/3 by the New York Court of Appeals in the civil case brought by the Attorney General. So that was a pretty big win for the president in that case. So I think there's a way to go on that that could be successful on appeal, and I think they have to just take it all the way through. And then, of course, in about within the next month, we're going to know about the January 6th Jack Smith case, because the immunity claim, which is before the Supreme Court of the United States, will be decided by the end of June.
Yeah, I mean, so you've got that, and then you move to like the federal side of those kind of cases, and the decision by the Supreme Court, and, you know, you also wonder, you know, where's Donald Trump ends up next. It doesn't look like it's Florida. That case is slow. Georgia's now on appeal. So it would be if Jack Smith got a friendly verdict out of the U.S. Supreme Court and move forward there out of Washington, D.C., sometime probably post the Republican convention, it would look like. But also, I think just when we read kind of how this is being explained to the American people, I think what's important here, Dad, is we always say, you know, and as a legal group, the courts are still your place of last resort. The one way I think we could put a stamp on this and stop the U.S. from going in this direction of a weaponized legal system against political opponents, maybe starting with a president who has been under this attack since he took the oath of office and became president when we were fighting back against whether it was you know, these congressional committees and then impeachment one, impeachment two, Mueller investigation, and then the post-presidential criminal attacks going after with special counsels and local DAs and state AGs, that truthfully, if the American people vote for Donald Trump November 5th, that may send a message to the left that, yeah, you might be successful in some of these prosecutions, but that's not going to stop people. The American people will see right through it. And maybe you would pray that this puts an end to this in the United States of America, that we don't become like these countries many of us have worked in, where after you're out of political office, even if you were very successful, you become a criminal.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think the political ramifications of this will be known at the ballot box. That will be the final adjudication.
Yeah, November 5th. Dad, we appreciate you joining us
on
this issue. We're going to be bringing you back when we through this process, because, again, it's even the words used, like the appellate division and then the appeals court, is different. It's different in New York. And then there's going to be issues, too, constitutional issues that arise, state issues that arise. We're going to get through all of that as this happens. Remember, we've got plenty of time to talk about it, not just today, but as we have this time leading up to the next move by his legal team.
We are only 24 now champions away from hitting our goal. The champion is an ACLJ supporter who gives on a monthly recurring basis. You can do it right now at any level, by the way. You decide what level of comfort you are with that. We got a second half hour coming up. We want to hear from you. Tulsi Gabbard's going to be joining us. Again, our dad just joined us. Thank him. 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard on the air today. But also, become an ACLJ champion. This is only a one-minute break, but I'm encourage you, help us defeat government corruption, uphold our Constitution, support Israel, defend your religious liberties, and protect life. Do it right now. Become an ACLJ champion, and we'll be right back with more on Seculo. One-minute break, and we'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
We'll fight for the right to live.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Yeah, I'm seeing some folks, too. They're saying, what else can the ACLJ do? And usually, you know, what we've done, you know, we did the 14th Amendment cases. We were the first to file there. Alongside some of that case, when it went to the Supreme Court, was our case as well, representing 14 different states, and it ended up, you know, the Colorado being key in that case, making sure that Donald Trump would be on the primary ballot, which the Supreme Court ensured he would be. And those states, some of those were secretaries of states that did it on their own, some were courts that did it on their own. So we did that case. Now when we look at appellate issues here, is that's really in the ACLJ's ballpark, especially what issues get appealed. Are they constitutional issues like due process, you know, Fifth Amendment due process? Are there Sixth Amendment issues like witnesses and the fact that they weren't able to bring in that election expert, Brad Smith, who was the former FEC commissioner and is a law professor, even though the Sixth Amendment guarantees the person charged with the crime to bring in witnesses that can add to their defense. And so you've got those, plus those unique issues that came up, like not really unanimous on what the crime was. I mean, that's again. So there are ways I think you'll see the ACLJ be involved once, again, this is going up. You know, a lot of our work is appellate and beyond. And a lot of times we get calls when people have had trouble at the trial court level, and then they'll call us at the appellate court level. Sometimes, you know, some of our cases that we do, the religious liberty case, you know, we take right from the beginning. But I wouldn't think at this point that you're just going, that this is the end of what the ACLJ is doing, is just talking about this one. We now will watch closely to see the moves. As my dad said just in the last segment, likely a whole new legal team will be brought in to handle the appeals process because it is a different set of skills than doing a jury trial. A 6-week jury trial versus a 1-day appellate trial over maybe an hour or 2 hours is very, very different. And so we will look to that at the ACLJ. And, of course, if those issues align with what the ACLJ does, we can do it that way. And remember, in the past, we've done it outside of the ACLJ through private law firms if we've had to.
Yeah, let's take a call real quick. Let's go to Jim, who's calling on Arkansas on line 3, watching on YouTube, which we appreciate all our YouTube viewers. If you're watching on YouTube right now, I'm going to ask you, if you're brand new to the broadcast, hit that subscribe button. But, Jim, you're on the air.
Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate that. And I do appreciate you answering the first question about the gag order. And I understand Trump can't do anything about, you know, saying anything, but why can't somebody else take the judge to court? I mean, we understand. I mean, even the bar association.
So you have to have standing. So, again, you'd have to have standing to take the judge to court if you believe they're biased. And that's, again, they can argue that now on appeal, that there should have been a recusal, and the recusal should have existed because the judge had been warned once about, even though he made a small donation to President Biden, that they're not supposed to be doing that. Also because of his daughter's business, and that she benefits from Democrats who had a winning election, and so the opponents of Donald Trump, including Adam Schiff, who led impeachments against Donald Trump. So there are issues there. But, I mean, I think, again, what you see in the judicial system is oftentimes in these motions to recuse, it's the judge themselves that makes the decision. Sometimes that's different in different jurisdictions, but like at the Supreme Court, they decide if they're going to recuse themselves from a case. That's it. I mean, so you have to be careful too, because sometimes they will do it on their own without you needing to ask, and that's the best way for lawyers, honestly. They tried in this case, and the judge said no.
Hey, coming up next, Tulsi Gabbard's going to be joining us. We want you to join us as well. We got a few lines open right now, 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110, last check-in. We had 24 champions to go. Again, this is the last day of the month, so we spent some time telling you about the work of the ACLJ, why it's important for you to get involved, and encourage you right now. What I'd want to ask for you to do is become a monthly supporter, an ACLJ champion, as we call them. Give monthly. ACLJ.org gets automatic recurring membership. All you got to do is put in your level of what you feel comfortable at giving. This is not a set membership price. This is become an ACLJ champion, which is just a monthly recurring donor. Gives us a great baseline. We're back with you and Tulsi Gabbard coming up in the next segment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
To Secular, we are joined by our senior analyst for Secular, Tulsi Gabbard, who has been very outspoken since this verdict came out yesterday, and it's great that we were able to get her for the show and get her a take for all of you. Tulsi, as someone who has served as a member of Congress, you've got a New York Times bestseller out right now, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind, which again, New York Times bestseller. We've got it right here for people, so you get that wherever books are sold. But you said, Tulsi, ultimately, and I think for the American people, we're getting a lot of technical calls. And I want to tell people right away, I just got a text from my dad who said, at the appellate level of this, we'll file the ACLJ. So that's how that we're, you know, ACLJ will engage right away at that level. So another legal question answered for you. But Tulsi, I think for what you said yesterday was key. The key to really winning this issue so that we don't become the banana republic that this makes us look like to the world, and these world leaders kind of mocking potentially President Trump, is voting for President Trump on November 5th. I mean, you said it that clearly yesterday.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is that clear. I'm not an attorney, so I won't get down into the weeds of the legal stuff like all of your other, you guys and your experts are weighing in on. To me, this really is one that should be of concern to every American. I've been listening to a lot of the commentary since the verdict came out yesterday, even from a lot of Republican leaders, and there's a lot of excitement, sadness that this is happening, but a lot of excitement to see how Republicans who maybe weren't all on the same page before are uniting and getting energized by understanding what's at stake. But my hope is that this is not and should not be a partisan issue. And this is the message that I hope to carry to Americans across the country, is that this is not about whether or not you're Republican or Democrat or an independent or libertarian. This is not about whether you like Donald Trump or not. Frankly, this isn't even about whether you like Joe Biden or not. We have to look at the facts of the consequences of what President Biden, his administration, and the weaponization of the Department of Justice has done and has resulted in. If we, the people, allow this to stand, if we allow the party that's in power to weaponize these institutions against their political opponent, which is Donald Trump, but also the many people, unfortunately, who also have targets on their backs, who are everyday Americans, who are not running for office, but who happen to speak up in opposition to President Biden's agenda, or who happen to speak up not even just for President Trump, but for things like, you know, making sure that, you know, their little girls are able to participate in sports without having to be concerned about competing against biological boys, parents who are protesting at Board of Education meetings, pro-life protesters. A lot of the people that the ACLJ actually steps up to defend, if we allow this new norm to be set, this precedent to be locked in stone, which will happen unless Joe Biden is voted out of office, then not a single one of us as Americans will feel safe in being able to do what is fundamentally an American action, which is protest against our government, criticize our government without fear for our safety or without fear that our freedom may be taken away. And so while I see some Democrats and the talking heads like Rachel Maddow and the Women of the View and others who are giddy in celebrating this guilty verdict, what's happening is bigger than this verdict yesterday and this singular case. What they don't realize, or what they're not showing, is that if we allow this to stand, they may be ones on the receiving end of a similar action. So again, my hope is that we can take a step back from the partisan politics, from the personalities, and really come together as Americans to protect and save our democracy.
Yeah, I mean, Tulsi, this is what I feel like. It's like, one, I think Donald Trump can be successful in court through appeals. Those could take, ultimately, that could take a long time after people vote in November. Maybe New York, an appellate division, surprises us. But again, I don't count on that so much. But if the American people do like what you said, they speak up by voting November 5th for Donald Trump, there's a new calculation, which is even if you can use a DA or a special counsel to go after a political opponent, is it worth it, or are you just empowering that political opponent? And maybe that will kind of prevent us from having to take this to the next level, where the right has to start considering whether or not it has become the norm, and if we don't engage in this as well, that we will just constantly, we'll end up with all of our candidates and leaders getting convicted and thrown in prison potentially, or taken off the campaign trail. But our principles are too high. I don't think that can last for too long. But then you are a banana republic, and I go to this because you also serve in our military, and you've fought alongside in countries where this is the norm, and we try to go in, and it was like what Senator Rubio said too. We try to lecture countries on this about not using the legal system as a political weapon, and here we have it in the United States. But we also have a very quick opportunity on November 5th, I think, to shut it down.
We really do, and this is the key. Is whether the again, I'm not an attorney or a legal expert by any means. It seems like this should be overturned through appeal. But to me, that's kind of a side point, or that very much is a side point at this juncture, because there are still many other cases and trials that Donald Trump is facing. And they did this intentionally. They didn't want to put all their eggs in one basket and cross their fingers and hope that they would get a guilty verdict, which is why we're seeing so many other charges being levied against Trump, both at the state and the federal level. Whether these charges, whether they are successful or not, it's a side point to the fact that they have done this at all. And I think that's really the point that I'm trying to drive home, is that the fact they have done this and they hope they can get away with it is what poses the greatest danger to our freedom. The only way we fix this, for our country and for our democracy, is if each of us as Americans takes to heart and makes our own decision that, again, set the partisan politics aside, the disagreements, so you don't like the way Donald Trump talks about certain things or this or that. We have to decide ourselves that there's nothing more important than protecting our republic and protecting our freedom, period, full stop. just like you and I, Jordan, we talk about freedom of speech, and we've got to protect our right to free speech, even when we don't like that speech. This foundation of free speech and freedom and the rule of law is what is at stake right now, and we have to punish President Biden and those other politicians who are putting their own personal or political power ahead of the Constitution, and put out that resounding voice that we stand as one for freedom in America.
Well, Tulsi, I wanted to bring that up, slogan first, very quickly as we head to break, is your book is obviously about specifically leaving the Democratic Party behind because your eyes were open. Do you feel like moments like this, and I kind of could see it a little bit on social media, where this stuff starts happening and people who were historically maybe voting Democrat or voting, even like you said, even people that don't necessarily support President Trump can look at this and this could be a bit of a wake-up call?
Yes, I hope it is. And I, you know, again, this is anecdotal. I was scrolling on X last night and it was heartening to see how many people were saying, I never would have thought I would vote for Donald Trump, but now I know that I am. So we just have to make sure that this doesn't become a 24-hour news cycle and then people forget what's really going on, because this is not the end. This is not anywhere near the end. This is going to continue for the next 5.5 months until Election Day on November 5th. We, the people, have to keep our eye on the ball and focus on what is most important. Punish President Biden, send him home, vote for Donald Trump so we can begin this important work of correcting course and saving our democracy and defending our freedom.
Tulsi Gabbard, as again, an analyst here for us on Seculo. Her new book, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind, a New York Times bestseller. Tulsi, thank you for taking the time and today and to us take us outside the legal process for a little bit and talk just to be, you know, about politics and about how we can save our country. We appreciate you giving that analyst
analysis. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tulsi.
Yep, we only have a minute till we head to the last segment, which is what we do is hear from you. And phone lines are completely jammed right now, but they will open up. So make sure you're staying tuned. 1-800-684-3110. Also, I'm happy to report we're only 18 away now from hitting our goal of ACLJ champion. So do that right now while we're in break. You can scan this code right now you see on your screen. While we're in break, it's the last break of the day, last break of the week, and the last break of the month. Go become an ACLJ champion. Take us over the top in this next segment. I'd love to be able to report at the end of this show that we have hit that goal. Again, only 18 away. Become a new ACLJ champion right now. Again, we're going to be taking your calls coming up and your comments. A lot of people have commented on this mug. So you know what that means? Time to freak Jordan out. Send in the clowns. I'm going to ask you to do it. We do see a lot of banana for Banana Republics also, but I think send in the clowns. You know what to do. We'll be right back on Seculo. Again, ACLJ.org. Become a champion during this break.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We're taking your calls. We'll go right to Dean in Texas. Been holding on. We appreciate that, Dean, through Tulsi Gabbard joining us. You're on the air.
Yeah, my question is, where's your profession? Where are the lawyers and the bar associations denouncing this stuff that seemingly looks unconstitutionally illegal, and yet they were super quick to disbar Trump's lawyers for speaking out?
Yeah, I think you are seeing a number. I mean, depending on where you get your news, you're seeing a number of attorneys. This is ridiculous. I mean, you're hearing from us, says the ACLJ. You're seeing it from everybody on Fox News, even some on CNN, who are being honest, say that, you know, this is kind of weak and on appeal. And so, you know, don't get too far ahead, even if they kind of like the idea. Now, if you're talking about the Bar Association going after attorneys, I think that was wrong in the situation when it involved anyone involving President Trump. And I think that's wrong to go after the DA's office. You have to have, I think, more evidence than just this is, in our mind, you know, bad faith because they decided to ultimately bring a charge. They went through a process. They convinced a jury. And remember, President Trump's legal team got to be part of that decision-making process of who would be on that jury. And they convinced all 12 of those jurors to convict Donald Trump. And again, so they fought what they thought was the right thing to do. I think it is very dangerous for our country. I think a lot of other attorneys believe that as well. And again, I get what you're saying because you kind of make the comparison to the other side. What we are hoping for, this is for the country, is that that doesn't become a tit-for-tat situation. I don't want to become an organization, you know, 5 years down the road where our focus is how do we take, you know, a Democrat to court or a liberal to court and say that they should be, you know, prosecuted, whether it's civilly or criminally, that that's what we have to turn into. Because then who gets involved in this are people you don't want to even vote for. So less people in America will even be involved in politics, and that's not good for our country either.
All right, let's continue on. Again, hey, we're only a few away from hitting that goal, so become an ACLJ champion. Become an ACLJ champion right now. That's someone who monthly supports the ACLJ on a recurring basis. You put in your credit card information. You pick the level of which, or your PayPal information, you pick the level of which you want that donation to happen. So if it's $5, it's $5. $500 could be $500. Whatever it is, support the work of the ACLJ. Become a monthly ACLJ champion. Do it now. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. Let's go to Chris in Indiana, who's watching on YouTube. Again, we love all of our YouTube viewers. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. And first, I'd like to thank Tulsi Gabbard for her service. And all of what she said is a lot of what I say sure. On this deal. And anyway, I was appalled and angry that this sham case got allowed in the first place, let alone, you know, how this judge can be allowed to do these illegal and unconstitutional things, and why is he not immediately, you know, being...
The legal system is not immediate. I mean, I think you saw this was a six-week trial, and... Now it gets appealed. This is just the trial court stage. It was 6 weeks of a trial that we didn't even get to hear or watch. So we were basing everything off of reporters who were in rooms or in side rooms that were being able to hear or watch, and then statements. And ultimately, it's just the beginning of a case. I mean, it sounds like this is not the end. This is the beginning of this, and that's you know, you should this been a, would every judge have accepted this? No. I think every some judges would have thrown these charges out because there really were no charges. Remember that first day when Alvin Bragg came out with this? He's had the business, you know, the falsified business records, but everybody said, well, those are misdemeanors. And then they said, you know, the felony is coming and it's going to be related to election law. And then what we saw was you could pick, maybe you thought it was New York elections or federal elections, which, by the way, he's not allowed to do. The Supreme Court has said a DA can't enforce federal law. So there's a lot to be appealed here, and there are questions about should this have been taken at all. But here's what we know. You can find the jurisdictions I think Sean Hannity said last night too, and the places right now in our country that are going to be most hostile to you if you happen to be a conservative, especially a conservative who supports Donald Trump publicly. Now, what's good? The good news out of this. What, you know, becoming ACLJ champions today, we told you at the appellate level, ACLJ will be able to file a brief and be able to get involved. So for those of you asking, where's the ACLJ on this? That's where we are. So this is kind of the stage that we enter. And this is the where you can get things thrown out, where you can get things tossed, and you can get verdicts thrown, and you can get things overturned, and you can get things changed. So and we have a lot of expertise, of course, at the appellate levels of the courts. But the second part is, Logan, that 37% of the donors last night to Donald Trump, which I think ended around 34, 35 million, and that's while the website for online donations went down for about 20 or 30 minutes, which could have been another $10 million.
Yeah, for sure.
But the more interesting fact was not to me just the money, but that about 37% of those donors had never donated to Donald Trump before. So these were not people who donated for him last election cycle or the previous election cycle or on this election cycle, but because they saw what they felt was something that was wrong, which we believe it was absolutely a wrongdoing, they decided, you know what? I'm not going to just vote for Donald Trump. I'm going to use my own money and make a statement.
Yep. I think we saw that in a huge way last night. I think a lot of people were discussing that. Let's go to Don, who's calling California, watching or listening on the radio. Don, you're on the air.
Oh, great show, guys. Bless you for what you do now more than ever. You know, this is so terrible. This isn't the rule of law. This is a reign of terror. It's literally tantamount to judicial terrorism. I can't state that too strongly. It isn't a travesty of justice. It's a rank obscenity. Lady Liberty is weeping today. Lady Justice is weeping today. And all our enemies, every dictator in the world is laughing at us. America, you lecture us. Look at you. This is a disgrace and it cannot stand. You know, I was telling your great screener, Moses thought it was all over when he was cast down as a prince of Egypt. He was kicked out into the desert. No, his life was just beginning. I said, Mr. Trump, be of good heart. Be of strong heart. God isn't finished with you yet, and God isn't finished with the USA yet. Let's all rise up.
Now, listen, I think when you said that too, that the idea here is this is just the beginning. That was my point earlier too, is that Donald Trump's a fighter. I mean, I don't think you want to have to, you know, be convicted of felonies to raise $35 million, but it does show you that you've got a lot of support that people, the American people, especially when a third of those donors are brand new to you. So they may be people that would vote for you, but they were not people who were willing to, like, give you money. Yeah. And by the way, if you give over $250, people can see that you did that.
Hey, I want to say to John and Dee, I'm sorry we didn't get to you today. I know they're on hold for about over half an hour.
About the ACLJ champions. Let's hit that number today.
Yeah, we are so close. We are just probably 15 or so away from hitting our goal, which is our monthly goal of brand new ACLJ champions. Those are people that reach out and say they want to support. Over 21,000 of you have done it, and we are looking to hit our goal today because it is the last day of the month. It is the most important day always for the month. So do it right now. Go to aclj.org/champions, or if you're watching, you can scan the QR code. And you can become a member. You pick the level financially, but help defeat government corruption, uphold our Constitution, support Israel, defend your religious liberties, your freedom of speech. Do it right now and obviously always protect life. And we're doing that here at the ACLJ each and every day. Thank you all for listening, for watching, and we will talk to you on Monday. Again, aclj.org/champions.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.